Imam al-Ghazali, and this is from the Ihya, he said that, because the Prophet ﷺ, he said in the hadith, من حسن إسلام من مرئي تركه ما لا يعنيه, from the good Islam or the beautiful Islam of an individual is to leave what does not concern him. تركه ما لا يعني. So what does that mean, to leave what doesn't concern us? Imam al-Ghazali defines it as وَمِن جُمْلَةِ مَا لَا يَعْنِي, from some of the things that are of no concern. حِكَايَةُ الْأَسْفَارِ, just talking about travels and things like this. You know, the stories of journeys, travel logs and things like that. أَحْوَالُ أَطْعِمَةِ الْبِلَادِ, talking about different foods from different places. وَعَادَتِهِمْ, and the different cultures and things that go on. وَأَحْوَالَ النَّاسِ وَأَحْوَالَ الصِّنَاعَاتِ وَالتِّجَارَاتِ, and talking about the conditions of people also, and talking about different commercial practices and things that are of no concern. You're just talking about them just to chew the fat, as they say. And then he says, وَهُوَ مِنْ جُمْلَةِ مَا تَرَى النَّاسِ يَخُضُونَ فِيهِ, and this is what you see most people talking about. In other words, it's basically just conversations that people are having. It's fudul. He's saying it's a waste of time. The majority of what people are talking about is just a waste of time. And what these people, you see, I mean, the thing about these people is that they understood that you have limited amount of time. And that's what they were vigilant about. What do we do with our time while we're here? Because we're here. We're all here, right? You're here. I'm here. We're here. And we're here for a short time. Before we know it, we go the way that all humans go, right? وَكُلُّ الَّذِي فَوْقَ التُّرَابِ تُرَابُ, everything walking on turab ends up turab. That's the human condition. And so, what did they do with their time? You know, what did they do with their time? Because people do different things with their time. So that's their concern, was time management. These are the real time management people. And the most important thing to them was to utilize the time that you have on earth to purify your soul. Tazkiyah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. He has had success, the one who purifies the soul, and he is destroyed, the one who stunts his growth, the growth of the soul. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ. If it wasn't for the fadl of Allah and His mercy, none of you would have had the tazkiyah. يُجَاهِدُ نَفْسُهُ لِيَرَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَيَتَحَلَّ بِمَقَامَةِ الْيَقِينَ. يُكْثِرُ الذِّكْرَ بِصَفْوِ لُبِّهِ وَيُكْثِرُ الذِّكْرَ بِصَفْوِ لُبِّهِ وَالْعَوْنُ فِي جَمِيعِ ذَا مِنْ رَبِّهِ. He does dhikr with his Lord. This is Ibn Ashur says, يَسْحَبُ شَيْخًا عَارِفًا مَسَارِكْ يَقِيهِ فِي الطَّرِيقِهِ الْمَهَارِكْ يُذْكِرُهُ اللَّهَ إِذَا رَآهُ وَيُوصِلُ الْعَبْدَ إِلَى مَوْلَاهُ. That you should accompany people that will remind you of God when you see them. They will direct you to God when they speak. And these are people, يُحَاسِبُ نَفْسُ عَلَى الْأَنْفَاسِ, they're people that take their breaths to account. They realize their breaths are accountable. Right? يُحَاسِبُ نَفْسُ عَلَى الْأَنْفَاسِ وَيَزِنَ الْخَاطِرَ بِالْقِسْطَاسِ. They weigh their thoughts in the divine balance. They look at the mi'yar, even their thoughts. These are people that don't let thoughts come into their mind that are not proper. That's the work they've done on themselves. These people had a khalwa of 3 years in those rooms down there. 3 years. And that's how serious they took this. And this is the problem with modern people. They don't realize your time's limited. You're moving. We're going to be out the door before we know it. So what are you doing with your life? And what are you doing with your time? يُحَاسِبُ نَفْسَ عَلَى الْأَنْفَاسِ وَيَزِنُ الْخَطَرْ بِالْقِسْطَاسِ وَيُكْثِرَ ذِكْرَ بِصَفْوِ لُبِّهِ. He does dhikr with his essence. وَالْعَوْنُ فِي جَمِيعِ ذَا بِرَبِّهِ. All of that is with the help of his Lord. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We our help is from you. We worship you, but our help to do that, the aun of that is from you. يُجَاهِدُ نَفْسُهُ لِيَرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. They struggle with their souls for the sake of the Lord of the worlds. وَيَتَحَلَّ بِمَقَامَاتِ الْيَقِينَ. And they adorn them. So the first part is takhliya, is emptying the soul. خَلِّ بَالِكْ مِن نَفْسِكَ. Emptying the mind from the, emptying the mind of the ego, getting rid of this, this destructive self. النَفْسَ الْأَمَارَةُ بِالسُّوءِ. Getting rid of this commanding self. Cultivating it so that it becomes nafs al-lawama, and then it moves into nafs al-mutma'inna, a soul at peace with its Lord. وَيَتَحَلَّ بِمَقَامَةِ الْيَقِينِ خَوْفٌ. Fear of Allah that we're going to meet our Lord. خَوْفٌ رَجَن. Hope. يَرْجُوا اللَّهُ الْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And they, the people that have in the Messenger of Allah, who are they that really take his the paragon of perfection of the Messenger of Allah? Who are these people that يَتَأَسَّ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ? They have the uswa of the Messenger of Allah. They're people that they're aware of the coming of the day of judgment. مِنْ كَانِ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ. They're looking forward to meeting their Lord. That's what they want. They're on the journey to meet their Lord, and they're looking forward to the journey's end. They're thinking about the journey's end. وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى. To your Lord is your end. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Even when a musibah afflicts them, إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ بَعْدَكَ هَيُّنٌ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Like the woman who her whole family got killed, she said, everything's easy after you, O Messenger of Allah. وَمِنَ الْيَقِينِ مَا تَهُونُ بِعَلَيْنَا مَصَائِبَ الدُّنْيَا. Give us certainty that enables us to find everything easy after you. لَيْتَكَ تَحْلُو وَالْحَيَاةُ مَرِيرَةٌ. Would that you were sweet and the whole world, this life, was bitter. وَلَيْتَكَ تَرْضَى وَالْأَنَامُ غِضَابُ. Would that you were pleased and everybody else was angry. لَيْتَكَ الَّذِي بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ عَامِرٌ وَبَيْنِي وَالْعَالَمِينَ خَرَابُ. وَالَّذِي بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ الْعَالَمِينَ خَرَابُ. Would that what's between me and you is flourishing, and what's between me and the rest of creation is derelict. وَإِنْ صَحَ الْوُدُّ مِنْكَ فَالْكُلُّ هَيِّنٌ. If I have your love, everything else is easy. وَكُلُّ مَا فَوْقَ التُّرَابِ تُرَابُ. وَكُلُّ الَّذِي فَوْقَ التُّرَابِ تُرَابُ. Everything walking on this earth is just dust. So that's what he's telling us. Don't all this emptiness, right? And then Sidi Ahmad Zarruq, ma laysa ya'ni wa huwa al-fudul. The thing that doesn't concern you is fudul. It's excess. قد حده الزروق إذ يقول ما لم تكن تدعو له الضرورة وحاجة ولا يخص صورة بل عم في الأقوال والأفعال وفي العوارض التي بربالي. That Zarruq said that what doesn't concern you is something that's not necessary, or you have some need for it, or it's not something specific to it. It concerns you. It's not specific to you in anything you say or do. And also the empty, insignificant thoughts passing through your mind. Because that's a whole other level. The awarad allati birbali. Because what people do is they end up articulating those things. Just because you're having a thought doesn't mean you have to speak it. But a lot of people feel they have to. Hence, Twitter. And a lot of them want to sound profound. Really, they do. They want to sound profound. So they say things like, well, you've read your tweets, right? But the thing about it, just get Bartlett's quotations and tweet those. They're much more interesting. And most of them stole them from somebody else anyway, right? If they're worth tweeting, they were taken from somebody else anyway. Unless they're contentions. I've never seen those anywhere. Like, suicide bombing is an extreme way of shooting yourself in the foot.
The intellect decides what's real goods. See, the aql is what tells you what are the real goods, what's really good for you. The Prophet ﷺ said, حُفَّةَ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ. Paradise was surrounded by dislikeful things, things that aren't pleasant. See, the aql, what does the aql tell you? It tells you the cheesecake's bad for you. Right? That's what it tells you. The aql tells you that. It says you don't want to eat that. Empty calories. You're going to get sick, rot your teeth. Right? But the shahwa tells you, no, I love that. That's good. Oh, I'm going to have such joy when I eat it. Oh, I don't have it yet, but I desire it. See, that's what it's doing. That's what the nafs is doing. The aql says, okay, every once in a while, I'll reward you for being a good nafs. Right? So maybe on the Eid, I'll have a piece of cheesecake. Right? But the intellect, this is the rule of the intellect. And so this is important because if the aql is absent in the decision-making process, then what happens is the nafs chooses apparent goods. It chooses pleasure. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, حُفَّتْ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. This is going to take you to hell. حُفَّتْ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. Drugs, right? People love to feel happy. Drugs make people feel happy, right? You shouldn't know that. But people like drugs. It makes them feel happy. So they go after them, they obtain the goods, they feel joy. When it's absent, they feel desire. So they become addicted, right? That's because drugs are an apparent good to the nafs. It looks like it's a good thing. It's going to help me deal with my troubles, just have a highball, loosen up, got so much stress at work, right? This is the nafs speaking. But the aql says, khamar, it's bad. Umm al-khaba'ith. Right? So, asan tuhibbu shay'an wa huwa sharru lakum. Maybe you love a thing. Your nafs loves it. It's an apparent good, but it's evil for you. Wa asan takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayru lakum. And maybe you dislike a thing, but it's good for you. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows, so listen to what I'm saying. With your aql, afala ta'qilun? I'm giving you good advice. The aql knows. If you listen with your fitra, then you'll know you're right. It's not good for me. Khamr is not good. But a little bit of it is good in moderation. Allah says, there's benefit in it. But the sinfulness, the harm is worse. Maslaha wa mafsada. That's tarjih. Which one? And that's where the aql says, I'd rather give up my moderate drinking, right, and prohibit alcohol if it's going to mean that people out there won't get addicted and won't suffer who can't be moderate with it, right? So that's a whole other way of thinking about this. So that's the quwwa shahwaniya,
the karamat or the wonders that come from the mujahada of the body. Are hissiya. This is what the ulama say. They're sensory type things. So for instance, man ghadda, there's a hadith, man ghadda basarahu, right? Man ghadda basarahu, adhaqahu Allahu laddatan fi ibadatihi, right? That whoever lowers his eyes, because that's struggling mujahada of the badan, because it's a sensory thing. You enjoy looking at things that give you delight. So if you struggle against that, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will cause you to taste a sweetness in your ta'a. So people actually get physical pleasure. In fact, some of the scholars argue about if people do ibadah because of the physical pleasure, because you can get physical pleasure in ibadah, you can get physical pleasure in prayer, you can get physical pleasure in tilawat al-Quran, literally physical pleasure, just like other people get pleasure in their sensory things, people get physical pleasure from these things. And this is why if you look, the metaphor that, or not, the analogy that you can see of mujahada of the badan are athletes. It's because they do incredible mujahada of their bodies, and look at the miracles. That's why people watch sports. They don't watch sports for the 90% of the game or 95% of the game. That's just, they watch it for those moments where they can't believe it. Right? This is why they watch. And that's why most people, they just watch the highlights on the news or something. Because they show the highlights, right, of these amazing things. That's because these people are doing mujahada of their bodies. So they get these gifts. Because these are sunan of Allah. If you do these type of struggle, you'll get these results. And then you have mujahada of the nafs. And the mujahada of the nafs is fighting against your greed, your impulses, all the akhlaq as-sayyah, your bad character, all these things. If you fight against those, Allah will give you understanding, right? Fahm, understanding. And some of the ulama, Allah gave them great gifts. Some, we have ulama that were literally, like one of the great scholars of tafsir, who did a commentary on the Jalalain, Imam al-Jamal, he was illiterate, he couldn't read or write. And he taught in Al-Azhar. Khalid al-Azhari. He had big openings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was an ignorant man. He was close to 40. He used to take care of the lamps in Al-Azhar. And he spilled some oil on one of the students. He was filling a lamp. He spilled some oil on one of the students and he told him, you know, ahmaq or something. You know, he just said, watch what you're doing. And he felt so bad. He's a mature man and this young student is looking at him with contempt. So he went to one of the sheikhs and he said, I want to educate myself. And he began to teach him. He was so sincere. Allah gave him big openings. He became one of the greatest grammarians of his time. And his commentaries are still read. Khalid al-Azhari. He's not even, they just call him al-Azhari. Khalid al-Azhari. You know, you have Sidi Abdul Aziz al-Dabbagh. He was ummi, illiterate. Couldn't read or write. And he gave commentary. He solved some problems in tafsir that if you read the Ibriz, you'll see. He solved some problems in tafsir. He used to be able to, he could do the hadith by just hearing a hadith. He knew if the Prophet ﷺ said it or not. And one of them asked him how he did that. He said, if he said it, he said, you know how in winter when you speak, you see like a steam come out? He said, when they speak a hadith, I see light come out of their mouth. And if it's not, I don't see that light. This is what he said, subhanAllah. Yeah. Al Buyazidi, one of the ulama, he was ummi, and Allah gave him all these knowledge. Sidi Ahmed Zarruq, one of the greatest, really, scholars of Ta'ifatain. You know, he's Imam of Ta'ifatain because he was a great faqih, usuli scholar, he was a muhaddith, he was a student of Imam Sakhawi. Imam Sakhawi was one of the greatest muhaddithin. Sidi Ahmed Zarruq, his teacher, who he had his opening with, Abu Abbas al-Hadrami, was illiterate. And he actually took permission when he wrote his book on Abu Abbas, he asked him, could I correct all your grammatically incorrect statements and write them in Fusha? Really? I'm not making this up. You know, these are people who were so sincere with Allah that Allah gave them openings. And the reason Allah will keep these unlettered awliya who are given knowledge is to prove, because the karamat of the awliya are like the mu'jizat of the anbiya. So the Prophet ﷺ, when they asked Sidi Abdul Aziz at the Baq, somebody said to him, "Al-ulama warathatul anbiya, ماذا ورثت من الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم?" He said, "ورثت منه أميته." You know, that I got from him his ummiya. In other words, my knowledge is not, this is called wahbi knowledge. You have kasbi and wahbi knowledge. And kasbi knowledge is important. You have to study and learn. That's kasbi knowledge, to learn. You have to study fiqh and you work on it, you do memorization, things like that. But wahbi knowledge is what comes. مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ أَوْرَثَ اللَّهُ لَهُ عِلْمَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمَ. If you act according to what you know, Allah will give you knowledge that you don't know. اتق الله ويعلمكم الله. It's not a jumla shartiya, but the ulama take an ishara from that ayah. اتقوا الله ويعلمكم الله. Have taqwa of Allah and Allah will teach you. Right? It's an ishara, it's not a grammatically, it's not a jumla shartiya. But the meaning of the condition is sound, the ulama say. That if you have taqwa, Allah will give you knowledges. And then you have mujahadatu shaitan and fighting shaitan. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ عَدُوٌ لَكُمْ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Shaitan is an enemy. And shaitan is real. You know, shaitan is real. Not with the you know, I mean, there's hadith that there's horns of shaitan and things. But, you know, the popular imagination has created this image that makes people think that it's a joke. Shaitan is real. There's dark forces working in the world. And they whisper in the hearts of people. And
so the Prophet ﷺ, his heart was pure. And that's why the people around him, their hearts were purified by being in his company. Because that's what happened. If you keep company of good people, you become like good people. You keep company of bad people, you become like bad people. One of the things about recidivism in prison, you get people that become Muslim in prison or they become Christian, whatever. They go back, and one of the horrible things, look at this, in parole, I don't know about this country, but in America, in the parole system, in America, the prisoner has to go back to the place where he was arrested. It's total madness. I mean, they put him right back in the environment that destroyed him in the first place. So it's like sending somebody who had malaria, now he's been treated, you send him back to the swamp. That's what they do. It's a horrible thing. These people, they really try to get better. A lot of them actually really try to get better. And then they go back, all their friends are there who haven't changed. Here's somebody, he's really changed. He's become Muslim, he's praying, he's fasting, he's got some spiritual strength. Suddenly he finds himself back in the same place, and all his old buddies come, and he feels strong. And this is one of the things Sidi Ahmed Zarruq reminds us. He said, never trust the nafs. If you've fallen into disobedience in a place, never feel strong about going back to it. Because he said, that's how ma'asiyah reoccurs. Is you get weak, you go back and you say, no, I'm not going to do it this time. You go back and you do it again. So this is what these people do. They go back to these places and then the people say, oh, just come down and, oh, no, I'm not doing crack anymore. You know, I gave that up. Yeah, that's okay. You don't have to do anything. Come on, just come down. See, you know, Joey's down there and just come down and see. We'll hang out, man. You know, don't worry about it. And he's, well, all right. I don't want to, you know. Because he's his friends and this and that, and he goes down, suddenly they're all firing up the crack cocaine, and they're all like, oh man, I feel this is really good. Come on, man, just take one hit, what's it going to do? This is how it happens. This is being repeated right now. There's people right now, this is, I guarantee you, the cycle starts over again.